right, and we're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that five-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to go ahead and support us here at the Lakers Fast Break, tell a friend. If they're into basketball, and especially the Los Angeles Lakers, please tell them to check out all of our great episodes right here at the Lakers Fast Break, wherever you get your podcasts. The Lakers kryptonite once again struck violently for the second time, but we managed to go ahead and pull out a victory in double overtime over the Detroit Pistons, 135 to 129. The Lakers gave up a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter and managed to go ahead and barely escape and send it into a single overtime, and then managed to again barely escape and send it to a double overtime. And like Jamie Sweet was saying, they're up by 17 at one point. And as we've talked about ad nauseum here, they just go ahead and take that foot off the pedal and just, my gosh, it just goes south from there. The team, again, when they're not focused, it's a roller coaster ride. And this time it went downhill, but we managed to barely squeak by and have just enough to go ahead and get us over the top over the 5-17 Detroit Pistons. Let me tell you that again, 5-17 Detroit Pistons. I'm telling you, it just really is frustrating at times. This is what this team puts themselves through. But here today to talk about the game, plus also as well, our picks for the All-Star game and our thoughts once again on the All-Star game, because we want to reiterate what's going on with the All-Star game and all that and our thoughts on it. Our two great guests indeed. You got to catch, first off, the man behind Five Great Things on Lakerholics.com. He's got a one that he just posted this week. In fact, if you go ahead and check it out right now, you'll truly appreciate it. It is Jamie Sweet. And Jamie, I don't know. I think the Lakers really sometimes like to go ahead and make it really hard for themselves.
I mean, I don't know if they want to make it really hard for themselves, or that they like to make it, though they like it. But I think that, I mean, this is the truth, right?
Hold on. I want to make a mistake. The Detroit Pistons are now 5-18.
I know.
To make sure
that 5-18. I should have said 4-19. They should be 4-19. We shouldn't have lost to them the first time. But yeah. Here's the thing. I mean, the Lakers are a team that is looking against teams like this, there's going to be a little bit of looking ahead. Like, there just is. The Pistons are not a threat to any team in any conference in the playoffs. They're a scrappy bunch of young guys, except for Blake Griffin, who's 97 years old. And, you know, the Lakers are going to get everybody's best shot every night. Everybody's best shot every night. You know, the Lakers are going to get everybody's best shot every single night. And in this compressed season, that's going to happen on more nights per week than it does usually. And they're just going to, they look a little beat up mentally right now. I don't think, other than when I watch KCP, I don't see anybody who I think is physically limited in the game right now. Mentally, they just look tired. By the end of the game, they all look tired, right? Everybody looked gassed, which is
again, that fourth quarter, the execution down the stretch, several missed shots, they did look fatigued.
We didn't make a basket, I think, from Dennis Schroeder's baseline jumper until Alex Caruso's and one in overtime to span the end of the fourth into overtime. Like, the whole team went ice cold. And this is going to get into like another thing that's, I think, forever going to be an issue with this Lakers team. And potentially Frank Vogel as a coach, and that his focus as a coach is on the defensive end, and it shows. The Lakers are leading. They're the best defensive team in the league. They're playing great on that end for the most part. Again, against a team like this, I think everybody mentally took the game off until they realized, oh, man, we're going to lose to this crappy-ass team twice in a row. That's not good. Nobody's going to like us after that. And so on and so forth. But I don't know. I just feel like they look a little bit beat up mentally, that they had the 71 days between the end of the NBA finals and the start of the NBA season. And they take everybody's best hit every night. they haven't missed any games due to COVID. Some teams have had a nice little break midseason where, you know, maybe one guy was sick, but the rest of the team, you know, is able to like recuperate, get their legs under them, so on and so forth. Lakers haven't had any of that. So I think that they, and not to get into the All-Star, I don't get into the All-Star break, but we're not even there yet. But, you know, I just think they look gassed, man. I think they look gassed mentally.
Well, they, I mean, it's, there's something going on there. I mean, after that tremendous second half performance against Denver, where they basically gave a shout out to the league, we're here and we're the best. And, you know, at length, Tom and I were just praising the way they acted in defensively and offensively on both sides of the realm on that second half. And it just seems to be very disappointing that they couldn't follow up by just destroying this team, a team that they already lost to, and they should feel just some type of anger that they lost to him in the first place. And I just thought they were just going to go ahead, and no matter what point spread Vegas here, it was going to go ahead and dish out. I just thought, you know, the Lakers would cover it, no problem.
Right.
But that wasn't the case. I mean, again, a lack of focus. The whole game, they just would never put them away. Like you said, they got up to 17, but really most of the time it was 10, 11 points right in that realm. Then all of a sudden, that quick foot off the gas, right down to zero, right down to a tie. In fact, Pistons took a lead for that in the late going in that game, and in the first overtime, just very concerning. But also here to talk about the game is the mastermind behind LakerHolics.com. It is Laker Tom, and Laker Tom, you gotta be. You always tell me don't just disregard it. But again, this is like a broken record, my friend. This is like a broken record. How many times they lose this kind of focus?
Well, you know, there's a couple of odd thoughts that went through my mind as I'm listening to the two of you talk about the game. The first was, I don't think they ever took their foot off the gas because I don't think they ever had their foot on the gas. You know, I mean,
true.
They just really came out of this game, and there was never any urgency. There was never any pressure. It was just a sloppy, messy little game. The second thing that jumped out at me is that I don't think they were looking ahead, because who's ahead of the Grizzlies and the Thunder for the next three games?
I mean, they're looking ahead to the playoffs.
You know,
they're already looking.
Yeah, past, but looking ahead means that you got something to look forward to. What they got is three cupcakes in a row here, and they almost blew the first cupcake.
Wow.
So
yeah, exactly.
You know, here's the thing that I think needs to be done with this team. If you looked at the game against the Nuggets, and I've got an article that I'm almost ready to publish tomorrow talking about the Lakers' philosophy on defense, and a big part of that philosophy is to act rather than react, to have a defense that plays like the offense, that is aggressive, you know. And in that game against the Nuggets, what we saw in the first half was the same thing we saw all four quarters here, which is no pressure defense. It was just basically one-on-one, you know, a little bit of help, and the overhelp basically led to open threes. But it was basically, there was never any pressure. We allowed them to do what they wanted to do rather than forcing them to do something different. And yeah, they don't have a bunch of superstars like Kawhi Leonard or James Harden or Dame Lillard that you automatically double. But Frank needs to tell them to go out there and attack these guys and trap and hedge and double these guys and get into that flying rotations and the scrambling and swarming defense that really ignites our fast break and really gets the players' adrenaline and juices going. Because going out there and just playing regular drop coverage and everybody play one-on-one type of defense and seeing what happens doesn't work for this team, you know? So I don't care. I don't care if it's Josh Jackson. I mean,
that dude went off tonight.
He went off tonight, and it's kind of interesting. You know, that banner that you see me hang sometimes behind me, the Laker banner. That came from Josh Jackson's tryout for the Lakers the summer before he was drafted.
I wish we'd taken him.
And he was, you know,
I didn't get a chance.
The biggest comment that I got from my daughter-in-law's parents, who owned the the ranch that this practice was had in the gym there was that the Josh was extremely rude, and so was his whole family.
Well, let me say this. He had to find himself. Remember, he was drafted very early, number four, if I'm not mistaken, by Phoenix, and was a washout there.
Yep.
Had to go to the G League. Found himself with Memphis.
He's been playing well. He's been playing well.
And then
wish him well. I just remember that comment. Yeah.
But that's how he got the contract with Detroit, is because he started playing well. Once once he lost his job, he realized the kind of talent that he had, got his head on a little bit straighter, went to Memphis.
It's a good fit for him.
And got the contract
on the Pistons because, you know, he's a Detroit kid, grew up in Detroit and so forth. Yeah. And I do wish him well. I just thought that it was, you know, they made a mess out of the house. They made a mess out of everything down there. This was a time where I've got the pictures of my granddaughter Mia with Magic Johnson, and it was sort of a big little event in our family. But at any rate, the problem is that this team needs to have a foil. And frankly, if you watched at the end of the game, everybody's just hugging everybody else and patting them on the shoulder and thanking them and so forth. And this is not the old NBA teams hold a grudge. You know, it wasn't like. You know, I mean, I came out and said today several times in various comments that, you know, boy, you know, the Lakers ought to be taking it out to the Pistons, you know, because it's some revenge and some redemption, you know, let's just pound him. I mean, I talked to L Rob today, I was helping him on a post and I talked to him and he says, yeah, boy, we're going to kill these guys tonight.
Even Mike Trudell was talking about how the team itself was saying, like, we need to, like, avenge ourselves.
Well, yeah, you know.
With
by
what?
By the end of the game, everybody.
Here's some donuts and cookies.
We're avenged. Exactly, like, you know. Like, you guys come over. You could have guys eat after dinner. We could all go out together, you know.
We're going to play video games after the game. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, right. Exactly, you know. Anybody up for a game of poker, you know?
We'll have a Super Bowl party together. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. No
Super Bowl. But, you know, it's. The problem is this Stay team home. Is so good when they're focused that you excuse a few, you forget that when they play that kind of defense and they have that kind of fast breaks that come from the turnovers that they create on that defense and so forth, it's electric. Oh. But when you don't have those things and you're playing lackluster defense, and AD, I mean, allowing two layups right in a row at the clutch points, and I saw this video where LeBron was saying, you know, hey, AD's foot is really bad. It's totally black and blue. He can hardly walk on the damn thing. And that's the reason why he's really not playing up to par. Because they took advantage of him down low several times. And it's just one of those things. So I think what Frank has to do is treat the Thunder like it's the finals, you know. Treat the Grizzlies like it's the finals and tell them to play that same type of defense. I don't care if it's just the second half. The second half is enough. Play it easily the first half, but go out there in the second half and do something. And then on top of it all, there's some good signs. Clutch comeback after two horrible regular season games by AC, where he really sucked on defense and sucked on offense. And that cut that he made and the three that he nailed were really saved our butts. So that was great to see. I thought that Marc Gasol is just going to be a problem, man. I don't see that solving. And I'm just really, he's not contributing anything to the team. No,
when I said that, Jamie,
no assists, no shots. He did make a three finally. But he's shooting like 20% from three.
Same with Caruso.
5% from the field. And he can't even dunk when you give him the ball right underneath.
All honesty, I thought he was fouled on that. In all honesty, I really thought he got hit across the arm on the way.
Well, in all honesty.
But also, I'm just going to say this. Hold on, let me say this. Guards
in the league would have flushed that thing down before.
Let me say this, Tom. Real quick, guys. I mean, you kind of lauded me because he could be a knucklehead, but at the time, the Lakers had the opportunity to sign either Hassan Whiteside or Marc Gasol.
No.
Hassan Whiteside today, 11, 11, and 4 blocks.
No.
On his best behavior. He's on his best behavior right now.
I don't believe his best behavior is a winning team contributor.
All right.
I agree with Laker Tom on that 100%. It's on my side.
Marc Gasol at least is a class guy who's going to give you an effort and he's a great passer. He does get his blocks and so forth. But he's not the answer because he can't play the scrambling team defense, the small ball defense that the Lakers play best.
And you're not going to get Miles Turner, but he would have been a much better alternative this point in time than what we're seeing from Marcus.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I see what Gerald's saying, and like statistically,
although Miles Turner would be the best option.
Miles Turner would be far and away the best option. Indiana's
I would give away a couple of our good players this summer for Miles Turner.
Don't even bother thinking about it. Indiana this summer, maybe after the playoffs, if they don't make it into the playoffs, they're not dealing in midseason.
Jamie Thomas,
not dealing in midseason. They're
Miles Turner going to be holding.
I agree with you there, Jamie.
Miles Turner is going to be holding that Defensive Player of the Year trophy, and it's going to stick in Anthony Davis's craw.
Well, they got a long way to go. They got a long way to go. They're overachieving right now.
Everybody has a long way to go.
Block shots.
Everybody has a long way to go. Everybody has a no. It's not even close. He's going to be the Defensive Player of the Year if all trends continue.
If not, it'll be Gobert.
If all trends continue, is a pretty big statement, though.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say that again. We were just a lack of focus. It's
also, too, what really helps the situation is that AD has not been playing great
at all. I feel like if that foot news is true, this is what I say. Like. There are two players who are concerning me right now, KCP and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, because he looks nothing like he looked
not
like
Marc any Gasol.
No, because physically I'm talking about watching how they move physically on the court, how they are compared to how I know they can. Okay. Like Anthony Davis looks
lost
nothing.
Potential, yes, I agree with you.
Well, Anthony Davis looks nothing physically like he did last season. At any point last season, did he move this slowly or lethargically or whatever it is?
The game at Chicago. Yeah.
That's but the one again, game. One game out of like, you know, he didn't do that last season. He
dropped 30 today, though.
He took like three or four shots tonight. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, he dropped 30 today.
I'm talking more on defense, too. But anyway, point being is that he doesn't look like himself physically, in my opinion. Feel free to disagree. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is the other one. Who the dude doesn't move. The guy, he doesn't do any basketball things. Like, he gets the ball and he passes it back to LeBron. So, like, everybody's saying, like, we got to get KCP more shots. We got to get KCP. But KCP has to do something.
Well,
he has to move. He has to go. That's what I'm saying. He runs down the court, stands in the corner. You know, like
I'm so tired of standing around.
This running down the court was brutal, man. LeBron, do something.
I'm ready to hire Mike D'Antoni as our offensive coordinator.
Well, now that's the height of his sanity. Right now. But yeah, he's busy saving New York.
Yeah, right.
That team is looking better and better every week, man. Every week that team looks, I think, a little bit better. No, the Knicks. I'm sorry. Oh. I know he's on the Northern New York team. He's saving that team. Doesn't need saving.
Right.
D'Antoni telling Durant to shoot. Yeah. Mike, I know, bro. Thanks for the hint.
Well, they didn't have Durant and Irving.
ISO
tonight.
One, ISO two, or ISO three. Those are the three plays.
Right. And if they're smart, they'll just rotate every.
And their head coach is Steve Nash, who was
everybody's
a
like
great
this.
Playmaker, you know?
No, the whole coaching staff is shoot. Shoot.
Right.
Shoot. There's nobody out there saying run a play. Run a play. Run a play. Well, which would be a problem in the playoffs.
Frank has to get angry. Frank has to get angry. And
I don't know. I understand. Listen, it's frustrating. I'm very realistic about this. I don't like to see trends like the turnovers. Turnovers are driving me nuts right now.
Turnovers are horrible, man. I mean,
no. Everybody had some pretty bad turnovers tonight. KCP had a terrible inbounds pass.
THT had some bad turnovers.
THT. Everybody looked like they were trying to hit the home run on every single. That was, I think, part of the problem earlier. And then late, everybody was like, well, we should have beat him like last quarter.
Yeah, thank God LeBron hit the threes, man.
Yeah, and in the first overtime, thank goodness KCP had those first 6 points to, like, back to even within striking distance.
Well, AC
at one point in the overtime,
LeBron saved
that
the game.
First overtime, I was like, is anybody? Well, as it should be. I mean, I remember thinking in the first overtime, man, if we're going to rely on Caruso to win this, we're going to lose. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm a huge Caruso fan, but that's not his job. You know what I mean? His job is not to win the basketball game with incredible shots.
That's a great cut that he made there for that three-point shot.
That's why he's there. Smart offense, crafty offense, and tough defense. There were two plays on defense that stood out to me. One was, I want to say it was actually only in the fourth quarter, which doesn't mean it necessarily impacted the game, but it was when Detroit was really making a big push, and he like had this great standing backup cover on a Jeremy Grant drive that helped it stay a tied game. And then one of the last plays THT made before he went to the bench, and this is something I want to touch on in a minute. Why do coaches never substitute in an overtime, or like rarely? Like, everybody just played a lot, and like you get like a little short rest.
I thought they should have put Kuz in earlier, like, because we know Kuz at least let it fly, whereas everybody else on the team scared to shoot.
I thought so too, but then he came in for like. Yeah, but then in the overtime, Kuz did nothing. I was like, Kuz, you're just like everybody like looked to LeBron to make it happen, and LeBron looked exhausted. And that's the problem with this team, is that like even Dennis
Schroeder. Why not give it to Schroeder? Schroeder had a great game today.
Schroeder had a great game.
That's what I'm saying. That was where I kind of wish they'd put THT back in, because he's like young enough to not know.
Oh, he fouled out.
He didn't foul out.
Yeah, he did. That's why
he did.
He was closing the game until he fouled out. He had five fouls at that point.
Who's are we talking about?
No, he's got four fouls. Four.
No, the only guy who fouled out, and I'm looking at the box score right now, was Jackson.
Yeah, no, he didn't foul out. They benched him.
Yeah, Jackson fouled out.
He had five fouls at that point, I heard.
No, he has four. Well, so then the announcer's wrong. No, he has four fouls.
Nobody had five fouls.
See, I would have left him in then, because he's the one guy who would attack the basket.
That's what I'm saying. And he's young enough to not care, like to not realize you ought not to maybe play this way, maybe. Like,
there
was a great story with Dudley where it wasn't Dudley. It was, it was some guy who was on a podcast.
Don't say Dudley right now, because all he's doing is trying to push his book, because he's not playing right now. He's not going to play.
Can we call a 42-page book a book?
It's a great story about THT. This guy, this basketball player, didn't know who he was, and he saw him in the G League, and this was a game that he blew up for like 39 points or something like that, and he was talking to one of the other players, and he says, yeah, this guy's good, and he went over to THT and says, man, you're ripping up the G League, and THT said to him, I don't belong here, man.
Right. I'm
good for this league.
Right.
Well, I can say right now, man. Hold it. Just to let you guys know, hold on here. Just want to let you guys know, Josh Jackson was the only person that fouled out. The only other person to have five fouls on either team was Stewart of Detroit. So that's the only other person.
How many did he had only four fouls?
I only had four fouls. So
I don't think they should have taken him out.
Well, it's because he's 20. He's going to get that. You know, it doesn't matter how well he's playing. He gets that because he's 20. So
he's still playing the sixth most minutes of anybody in the team.
I'm just going to tell you, when it comes down to those crucial points.
I'm just telling you, other than the five guys playing 20 minutes a game,
I'm not saying I disagree with you, Tom.
He is next.
I'm not saying I'm disagreeing with you. I'm just saying
more minutes than AC, more minutes than.
He's got a shorter leash than a lot of these players, you know, in crucial times like that, because he's 20 and they're afraid that he's going to make the gaffe. I say you and I both have said
he's going to get too much money offered, and then he'll eat up some of their.
More power to him if he does. More power to him if he does. Make your money.
You and I both have said,
never going to be good to play that.
Leave the kid out there. Let him learn. Leave the kid out there. You and I both said, Tom, leave the kid out there and let him learn. You take the good with the bad.
I'm going to say this, Tom, on the THT point, he might start this year if Kentavious Caldwell-Pope doesn't, like, find.
Yeah, I said that same thing. I said there's a chance he could start by the end of the year.
He's not going to replace Schroeder right now, because Schroeder
That's where I digress. Where I disagree with Laker Tom on the future point guard. Dennis Schroeder is the future point guard of the Lakers. THT is like too good at too many things to just be a point guard. I think he's going to be better as an off-ball guard who can make plays. I think that is his future in the NBA. I think if you ask him to be a point guard, you're almost putting too much on his shoulders.
Point guard and shooting guard have become
saying, I hear you. If you ask him guard versus combo, whatever you want to call
it,
you're asking him to do both of those things.
If you're asking him to run an offense, I think that's what basically you're trying to say. If you're asking 100%. Him to run
I think
offense.
He's a better passer. He's a better passer than Dennis, honestly. Dennis is more of a scorer. And Dennis's turnovers all come from passes that top point guards all make, you know? He can't do the pick and roll pocket pass, for example. He just doesn't do it well. And his turnovers all come from passes that are intercepted.
I think with THT, everything goes by if THT can drive on you. So much works for him if he's able to go ahead and get around you because so much opens up for him, whether it's a pass or a shot. And for him, that's great for playmaking for himself and then for others. But asking him to go ahead and take the ball up the court and initiate the offense or whatever sets that Frank wants to run, I would leave that to someone else. I would personally leave that to LeBron.
Yeah. What sets does Gerald run? Gerald, what sets does Frank run?
Well, my set would be run the ball. The Lakers are best when they run the ball. The only thing that Schroeder is that I don't like is that he slows the ball down every single time.
Who does love that? LeBron James loves that he slows the ball down. LeBron James wants to use 22.6 seconds of shot clock.
Why do you want to start your play with 5 seconds left? I don't understand that.
Because he's exhausted. He's tired.
Isn't the opposite of the 8 seconds or less offense that the Suns used to run?
Can we give some props here?
The last 8 seconds offense.
Okay, well, again, can we give, before we head on to the All-Star game and all that, give some props to Svi Mihailuk? Tried to promote on this show. I really am rooting for this kid to make it for an extended time.
He's only shooting 20% from the three before this game.
I know he's struggling because he gets sporadic minutes off the bench and whatnot. But you know, ever since Jay Bilas ripped him on, you know, when the Lakers drafted him and he ripped him a new one on the air and national television. You know, I wanted this kid to try and make it. You know, he's a kid that. 4 years, but he graduated at 20 to give you an idea how ahead of the game. So he's still fairly young. And he's one of those ex-Lakers that, again, I thought of all those ex-Lakers that they traded away to Detroit or traded away to Washington, I thought he was the one that had the most promise. That's to me. I'd take him over Mo Wagner any day of the week and definitely over Isaac Bonga.
That's like saying you'd take him over Daffy Duck, man.
Yeah, that's
really, come on.
Is Isaac Bonga still in the league?
He starts every now and then for Washington, to give you an idea.
I forgot. He went to Washington, where all Laker castoffs go to die.
Exactly. So I'm really rooting for the kid.
Never get Bradley Beal because, you know.
We don't have enough draft picks.
I don't know if I should mail that to a DJ in a letter like, "Dear DJ,
now Miles,
you're never getting Bradley Beal."
If we give up THT and a package,
Dave just wants us to have the best five players in the league.
He wants the Yankees.
Oh, I can tell you, if we get Miles Turner for THT, I could and some other stuff.
You know, I'm not trading THT anymore. Miles Turner might be a good prospect.
That'd be fair. Miles Turner for THT and some stuff to even it out. I would say
I might trade KCP and Schroeder for Victor Oladipo if he would agree to an extension and TJ Tucker.
Why do we need a smaller center? We already have a small center.
Don't want him as a center. He just to throw on the balance of the book. Oladipo would be the perfect player.
No, he wouldn't. I mean, if you get rid of Schroeder,
rating is 94 at this point in time.
On Houston. Right. Yeah, Indiana, he didn't give a darn. He didn't care.
But he is an elite defender.
He can be.
All-pro defensive teams three times, and he's recovered from that injury. He's just not shooting the three well. He's only at 31% right now.
And that's the problem in the playoffs, though.
If he were to agree to an extension, he would be a player I would trade for. I feel the same way about Oladipo as I do Lonzo Ball, which is to say, let somebody else deal with that qualifying offer and let the market dictate their value at the end of the season.
No, because the only way you can get a superstar in this for the team like the Lakers,
we got two.
two max players who already have two max players. The only way you get a third guy.
You don't need a third guy.
Sign a guy with bird rights. So you can go over the cap to get him.
I don't think you need a third guy. I think that, I think that what
I generally agree with you that having five or six great role players.
Yes.
Is a better formula in today's NBA.
100%.
I don't think that was true before
the pandemic. Did we not just win an NBA championship? Not
before the pandemic, but the pandemic has lowered the salary cap to a point where it becomes almost impossible to build a team with three superstars.
I think that unless the third superstar is like Gobert or somebody who is a defensive superstar who is just so elite defensively.
That doesn't mean he's not a superstar.
I disagree 100%. I think if you can deter the other team from driving into the paint and shooting at the rim, that is a superstar talent. That is something that can change the course of a game on a nightly basis in your favor, which is all a superstar ever does.
He's just a glorified version of JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard.
That is a limited perception.
One trick pony.
Ask him to guard Nikola Jokic.
Right. No,
you can't guard anybody. You can play him off of the floor. That's the problem.
Yes, you can. I agree with you. I think he's an all-star, but
but he's not a superstar.
All right. Well, hold on. Okay, we'll get back to that here. You know, as far as our all-star,
he's not on our team. We don't really have to. Yeah. I'm not even that big of a Rudy Gobert fan. After this, I was like, nah, Rudy Gobert, you're out.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars, click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But the Lakers did win... again, in double overtime. So we're looking forward to hopefully a better outing next time around. But before we head on out, we did talk and ask for your opinions on the All-Stars. But the only one that seemed to be giving out All-Star opinions this year on LakerHolics.com and LakerHolics on the Facebook group there is Jamie Sweet and Laker Tom. Although Jamie Sweet, I don't think was feeling very well when he added some extra comments in there. But hopefully he feels better. But
come on,
we'll go into that in a second.
Come on, Boogie.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Come on, Boogie.
Okay. You start off, Gerald.
I'll start off. First of all, I've got a complaint.
They're in the comments.
First of all, I've got a complaint for the NBA. The NBA should not be playing this game in the first place. Again, we said that last week. I'm very concerned about the players, as the players are concerned for themselves. I understand this is a money grab, but this one all-star weekend, this one 5 days or 3 days or however what they're going to say, is not going to make up for all the substantial losses the NBA is going to incur.
All of the best players together, and if one of them is...
Yeah, all it takes is one.
Then you've lost the entire season.
Yeah. And if one person goes back home, gets their family sick, and if a family member passes or gets critically ill or anything bad happens, that is going to be such a black eye. That's going to be such a nightmare and disaster for the league. And even if it means just a player as well getting sick and being out several games, that's also a PR and disaster. There's just way too much to risk. I wouldn't do it. I'd say, you know what, whatever.
How many to do it, though? And he's president of the Players Association.
Yeah, and I understand the Players Union did, but they didn't really go out with all the players, because LeBron, who is it, Harden, Giannis, Antetokounmpo, started with LeBron and everybody else. All these major stars are speaking out against doing it. And, you know, De'Aaron Fox, who could be an all-star as well, because he's having a great season. He also said he didn't want to be a part of it. I mean, it's just all out there. I'm just going to say, I think it is unwise to go ahead and have an all-star
game. It's going
to
get canceled.
It's not going to get canceled. I think
there's a good chance it'll get canceled.
There's a chance. I think it's 50-50. I think I'm going to say it's 50-50 because it started with LeBron and a whole
bunch of... The only reason it might not get canceled is because if LeBron and Giannis and a bunch of guys opt out, there's a whole bunch of guys who've got contract provisions that say they get this big extra amount of money if they make the All-Star team.
And then the league would have individuals such as Zach LaVine going up against...
It'd be like the G League of All-Star games,
and that would be the major matchup there if that's the case. But speaking of like All-Star matchups,
will Zach LaVine defeat Chris Middleton tonight? Who knows?
If NBA has an All-Star game,
they're both on the Eastern Conference.
I want to complain about with the NBA.com, you're not allowing me to pick my five best players. Because of your silly way of doing it with the front court and the back court, you know. First of all, my starters, for instance, are this for the West. It's going to be Nikola Jokic, LeBron, Kawhi, PG-13, and Steph Curry. PG-13's playing much better than AD. I saw your list, Tom. You can't complain about AD the whole entire season, then put him on as one of your starters. Okay,
I wouldn't put PG on anything.
That's a good one, Joe.
PG is having a great season. He is having a great he's shooting what 50, 40, 90 right now?
He's having a great season.
He's having a great season.
I just don't like to admit it, is all. That's all.
As someone who regularly speaks to the NBA on other shows, I have to be somewhat of unbiased right there. So it's not the playoffs, Tom. It's not the playoffs. Now, if it's the playoffs, then we're talking about all-star starters there. That's a different story. But again, those are my five. I am not allowed to choose.
What position you got him at?
Center.
First of all, PG-13, you cannot put him at a guard. Even though he is the shooting guard on the Clippers, you can't pick him as a shooting guard on the NBA.com.
He's a three.
But who should be the small forward? Kawhi. Kawhi's a small forward.
LeBron's a small forward, so Kawhi can't start.
But LeBron can be a point guard.
No, Luka's the point guard who starts.
Luka's not a starter. He's not going to be a starter.
No, he's not going to be. I picked him because I love Luka's game.
These are my choices. The five best players playing right now in the West. Jokic, LeBron, Kawhi, PG-13, and Steph Curry. There are no better players that are playing at a level now.
I picked Booker.
Hold on. You asked me for my team. I'm giving you my team. Okay. You're throwing all these names. My reserves.
What about the East?
East, yes, that's right. So you got me all frazzled.
Gerald,
do you ever feel like you're in the dodgeball movie? Do you ever feel like you're in the dodgeball movie? Yeah,
I'm Justin Long, and I got the wrench. Yes. The wrench is hitting me. I feel like I'm Justin Long. East starters are going to be Durant, Antetokounmpo, Embiid, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, who are playing the best out of anybody in the East right now. Okay. And coming in for my West reserves at a close, very close is Lillard, Mitchell, Gobert, Booker, DeRozan, Luka, and of course, AD, even though Tom again has just been berating him all year long, he is playing
still has got great numbers. They're just not great numbers compared to last year.
That's why I wouldn't make him a starter. But he, and we've been talking about his defensive rating all year long about how poor it is compared to what he should be doing. And that's why he belongs on the reserves, but not on the starting team. So that's my team on the West. East reserves are Trae Young, Domantas Sabonis, Malcolm Brogdon, Julius Randle, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and pick one of these two, Hayward or Sexton. Sorry, Bam Adebayo fans, because of the fact that Bam Adebayo is on a team right now that sucks.
They're sucking. I'd go with Gordon.
For me, it's a lot about where they're at in the standings. So you could go ahead and say, you know what, Hayward, Sexton, okay, maybe LaVine, Chicago Bulls are right there. So throw in LaVine. I don't, it doesn't matter to me. Hayward, Sexton, or LaVine, one of those three, because all three of those teams are literally right next to each other in the standings.
I might go with LaVine because more have asked of him.
He's the one having the statistically best season of the three. So throw in LaVine. That's fine. And those are my teams. Those are my starters and reserves. Again, I would like the NBA just to allow me to pick the five best players because they're not that good at going to play defense anyways. So why should you care?
I'd like them to force you to pick a center.
I agree. Okay. Unfair. Oh, my God. Thank you for saying that. It doesn't really matter.
You can pick whoever you want, but you can't pick a center. You know,
you should just pick the best player in the position that they're listed is on the team. That will be, that's the end of the story. Really? Like, but I want to put,
how do you pick five guys without assigning a position to them?
But
they may be positionless, you know, and there's guys like LeBron who could play all five positions, but most guys can only play two or three positions.
I mean, Magic Johnson was a point guard his whole career. And you know what he went into the All-Star game as? A point guard. They weren't like, you know what, Magic, you're pretty tall. Why don't you play the four for the All-Star team? Like,
You're too big for a point guard. We can't classify you as a point guard.
I mean, I see Gerald's point. You want to really reward the best players, right? The very best players in the entire game
as being five digits out there, for example, you know, and you don't have any big men that.
If five digits is the best players, then sure.
Five giants out there, you know.
But yeah, but there's Jokic right now as a center, and then you got Embiid for the center on the East. They're both playing at MVP levels. So that, you know, yeah, of course.
But what
perturbs me is Garden when you go to NBA.com and Paul George, who starts as shooting guard for the Clippers.
Yeah, but I won't give Paul George anything. I won't give him the light of day.
Just stop, Tom, for a second. He starts at shooting guard, but yet you're not allowed to choose him there. He's listed on the voting as a small forward.
See, now that's BS. I agree with
that. That's BS.
I agree with your highly irksome emotional response to that. Yes. I think that's very valid.
So before we
won't vote for Paul George for anything.
I know you.
Would
you
vote? I put him on my list, though, unfortunately.
What about Doug Ketchum?
Okay. Laker Tom, you have those rose-colored glasses on. Go ahead, and with your team, we want to hear your East and West starters first.
My West starters are Luka, Booker, LeBron, AD, and Joker.
Okay.
My East starters are Simmons, Harden, KD, Giannis, and Embiid.
Okay, that's very solid. I don't disagree with any of those shows. They're all having outstanding seasons. AD is the one I would say, you know, I would not actually put him as a starter.
Well, he's a power forward, and name me a power forward who's doing a better job than he is.
Statistically, if you went by Pete, well, actually, you know, he's playing lousy defense.
Who else is a power forward? I did mine by positions because I believe in the positions.
And LeBron is the biggest small forward there out there. So
my second and third power forwards were Draymond Green and Zion.
Draymond Green.
I think Zion's going to make it. Draymond Green is not going to make the All-Star game.
This isn't who I think is going to win. This is who I would pick.
Sure. Right? I hear you. No, agreed. I love Zion as a pick. I think.
But I mean, who else is the power forward in the West?
I mean, there's theoretically one on every team, but.
Yeah, right. Okay. So who's better power forward in the West than AD?
Yeah, see, but then you're pigeonholing yourself into one thing. This is all about the All-Star.
You got to give some rules out, man.
I feel like this is the issue with the All-Star game that we are now debating and have no power whatsoever to change, and that we should.
So who are your reserves?
My reserves?
I didn't pick reserves.
I picked reserves.
We're going to talk about your reserves.
My reserves on the West, my point guard reserves are Dame and Steph. That's a pretty damn good point guards, huh? Luka, Dame, and Steph. I got PG and Mitchell as shooting guards.
Yeah.
I got Kawhi and Ingram as small forwards. Yeah. I got Green and Zion as my power forwards. And I did pick Gobert and Kat as my centers.
I disagree with you on rewarding New Orleans because either of those players, because they're just not having a good enough season. Those two statistically are doing great. But I'm all about the winning teams.
But this isn't this isn't the MVP though. This is let's go to the no, fluffy, the fluffy weekend where we all talk about how
part great of being on All Stars. How good are you in relation to and how?
Well, I didn't pick Lonzo, man. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, you didn't pick Lonzo. That's a step up.
I mean, if you go to the East,
yeah,
my backups at point guard are Westbrook and Morant. My backup shooting guards are Beal and Brown. My backup
did you just say John Morant? John Morant's on Memphis.
John Morant's on Memphis. He's in the East.
Oh, that right. Sorry about that. Okay.
And I'm trying to see is literally almost Young.
And you took Westbrook?
Sure.
Really? I know. Yeah. I don't think
Westbrook is the best point guard in the West, in the East.
He had one great game this week, and you're saying?
Well, he was injured, man.
That's why he's not going to make an All-Star team. I mean, he ought not to make an All-Star team.
I'm picking him.
I'm not picking
who's going to win. I'm picking who I like.
Do you realize he's five?
My small forward reserves are Tatum and Butler. I know Butler hasn't played much, but that he's still the guy I'd pick. My power forwards are Sabonis and Grant. Grant was really nice tonight, man.
Yeah, he's great.
Boy, you look at that, and then you understand why Denver didn't do as well against us as they did in the playoffs. And then last is my centers, and I just lost my spot here because I got an emergency alert. So I don't know who I had for centers backups. On the East,
probably Vukovic.
You didn't pick Bradley Beal, but you picked Russell Westbrook off a 5-14 team.
Yeah, I don't care about what the record was,
but Beal is averaging 30.
Just because you're on a winning team doesn't mean you're responsible for that.
I would also argue that Beal is probably the better player, but yes, I love Russell.
Gerald, next year you'll have to set some parameters for us, man. Right.
The best 12 players, period. That's the only.
Well, if you'd said that, I would come up with a different list.
NBA.com is just, not my friend. We'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the world champion, Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. But okay, before we head on out, we got to go ahead and Jamie, this has been hilarious. But Tom had some really good picks. I really want to go ahead and his love for Booker. I got to applaud that. I really applaud that because, you know, Booker, there's a chance he never gets any love. I mean, each year he's like the last guy that was not picked for the All-Star team seemingly. And now he's finally getting some love.
I did that for Sean.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, that was
Meredith, but forget, I guess I misspoke. So there
I know
go.
He was tired.
Okay, so next year,
he had to watch double overtime, you know, it's 2 a.m. in Detroit or in Toronto.
Yeah, no, that's what I was telling Jared. I was like, I don't know if we'll see Sean tonight. It's like super late. So my reserves, I didn't pick my reserves. You can see my starters in the chat. And
we're going to talk about the reserves here, though.
Okay, so let me tell you why I picked Boogie Cousins.
No. Let's go first with your starters, and then we'll go into your rest of your conversation.
I have to look at what I picked because I don't remember. Luka as starting point guard, LeBron James, small forward, Steph Curry, shooting guard, AD power forward, or AD center, Zion power forward. The reason I start Zion, all right, is because, and I truly believe this, the All-Star game is all about hype. It's all about marketing. It's all about balancing the players who are great now with the up-and-coming superstar level talent. And that has traditionally been how it's been portrayed and rolled out, I feel like, literally every year.
And you know what? I kind of agree with you. Zion hasn't played defense all year. Why should he start now?
Let me just ask a question. Did Tony Allen ever make an All-Star team? Because he plays All-Star level defense. Did Michael Cooper ever play on an All-Star team? Because he played All-Star level defense. So my point being is, like, if we're going to rate it by defense, we're probably talking about a different game. We're talking about a playoff game. We're not talking about the All-Star game.
150 games, you know?
The All-Star game is all about who's the flashiest, who scores the most points, who makes the most spectacular passes. All of that. There's not like a defensive There's not like a defensive skills game in the, at the All-Star. The closest this gets is the skills game where you dribble, pass, dribble, shoot, pass.
Imagine whatever. An All-Star block contest or steal.
It's not going to happen. How do you even do that?
I just want them to score 200. I want a team to score 200. They came close a couple years ago.
That is a worthy goal.
That is what I would like to see. But
there should never be an overtime in the All-Star game. Never. It's over at the end. Oh, you tied?
You can't have a tie, man.
Of course you can't have a tie
in the All-Star game.
Why not?
That's who cares?
Even hockey got rid of it. Even hockey got rid of it.
Whatever. It's
your Easter star. Let's go with your East starters. East starters now.
All right. Who did I pick for my East starters? Harden, KD, Giannis, Kyrie, and Embiid. Again,
Brooklyn Nets.
Is there, like, to quote Will Ferrell and Zoolander, Brooklyn is so hot right now. Like, they are so the team du jour. They are so the team, like, oh, they do all this stuff great. Brooklyn is going to run aground in the playoffs. They're going to grind to a halt against either Milwaukee or Philadelphia because they cannot play defense. And when the refs start allowing you to play defense in the playoffs, the same thing is going to happen to James Harden that happens in every playoffs. Incredibly, his free throws disappear. He starts to flip out and becomes disconnected from the game of basketball because he's not getting his pet calls. KD is going to start to get tired, I think, by the end of the year because he's not ready for this. And Kyrie is just a hot mess waiting to happen on any day of the week. And after that, there's nobody. After that, there's nobody. So any team in an over 7-game series basically has to really just focus in on stopping three guys. And they will become the definition of let that guy beat us.
No, they only have to stop one guy, one at a time, because there's only one ball.
Sure. Well, I mean, but you know what I mean. Let's assume that Harden or Kyrie starts cutting off ball when Kevin has the – you know what I mean? Like, let's assume
Harden is the point guard. He's going to just make assists.
It's not going to work in the playoffs is my point. However it doesn't work, we'll see how that unfolds. My personal prediction is some team is going to play defense.
They won't make the finals.
They're going to be like, hey, man, let that guy beat us, whoever he is. Like, you know, it's not going to matter. And if that guy beats them, they'll say, hey, we got six more. You know what I mean?
Exactly the Lakers' philosophy.
That's exactly what
– we're going to take the ball away from – your best two players.
And any one of you can beat us.
What they did to the Nuggets. Every time Jokic touched the ball,
and they did it against Houston.
Going to allow their best players to beat it.
They were more than happy to let Eric Gordon or P.J. Tucker or any of the other little Apushian hot Rockets last year try to beat us, and they didn't. And so that's what I think is going to happen with Brooklyn. But anyway, in terms of my All-Star picks, that's why I picked the three of them. Brooklyn is so hot right now. If statistically, Beal should get the nod over Kyrie. Beal should start the All-Star game. Beal's having a season of a lifetime. He's an elite player. I feel bad that he's languishing. He reminds me a little bit of Mitch Richmond in Sacramento 30-odd years ago. Neither did Mitch Richmond. Listen, I'm just saying I feel for him as a competitor. Who knows? Who are we to judge? It's not our – ours is, he's fine. Maybe he likes to watch people protest out in front of the White House. I don't know.
I don't understand. It's like Grant's decision to go to Detroit, you know?
Well, that I can understand because he was like the fourth fiddle on Denver and he wanted to be the bigger fish in the bigger pond. And that's – he got it.
Bigger fish in a smaller pond is what you meant, really.
I mean, a big losy fish in a whatever size pond they live in. But point being is I can understand that as a player being like, I'm not going to be able to see my potential realized here. It's a choice that I think Kyle Kuzma made when he signed that extension. And I think Kuz's agent was like, look at that guy. He made a little bit more money, didn't win a thing. Look at that guy. He made a little bit more money, didn't win a thing. Do you want to be those guys? Or do you want to be one of these guys who sign an extension with a winning situation?
You can put this poison pill in there so that Laker Tom can't trade you.
Well, that was the smartest thing because then we would just hear ad nauseum,
KCP and Kuzma for, he's the piece that people would give up something for.
Giannis is lock, Embiid, lock. So Julius Randle is a reserve. I think we all agree Julius is having a breakout year.
Yes.
In power forwards, it's hard to find good power forwards, man.
I mean, he's, I feel like he's like two, maybe one, probably two seasons away of like working on the summer on his 3-point shot and like getting that 3-point. Cause like, if somebody works on something, I don't want to disparage them from everybody. LeBron didn't used to have a 3-point shot. LeBron has a great 3-point shot now. You know, a lot of guys didn't come into the league with great jump shots. They worked on their game. They developed a great jump shot. Not everybody's Ray Allen. You know, not everybody's Jesus coming into the league, shooting threes from wherever. Got some people got to put work in. And I feel like Julius Randle has done a great job putting work in. He's got a coach who I think that the two of them are like, some coaches are just how Steve Nash was for Mike D'Antoni or vice versa, where this like the player who gets it done on the floor and the coach have like a synergy.
That well, he's shooting 40% now from three.
I know, but it's not on a lot of attempts, and I want to see that. I want to bear that over the whole season. It's his first season shooting well. Same with Caruso, right? Like when Caruso was leading the league, I was like, this is great and all, but let's see how things shape out in another 40 games.
So everything that stuck out as far as your guys' picks, I mean.
You don't want to talk about Boogie Cousins?
Well,
Boogie
Cousins is hold on. That's what I'm going to be talking about. You're not. Yeah, I'm setting you up here.
So
Carl Anthony Towns, putting him on the team, I thought was kind of suspect because he just hasn't played in the games. But you know what? Shout out to him and all the stuff that he's gone through. If you wanted to go ahead and put him on just for that, because if there's such the hard year,
he's had a good center.
Yeah, well, he hasn't played any games.
Barely played.
So
I don't know. I don't watch Minnesota, and we haven't played Minnesota, so how would I know?
Right.
Okay, I don't want to go on that, you know, because I thought you were also an NBA fan, but I guess I'm wrong.
You know, I'm so busy that I almost wish that they had a version of League Pass where I could only watch the Laker games and I didn't have to pay the money for all of the other teams.
Oh, don't get me started.
I do watch the scores and I'll turn into the end of the games when they're close, you know.
Just to see.
Well, yeah, I can turn into the Nets and 76ers game and till it's stretched out, and then I cancel that off and I move around to different games and so forth.
Yeah.
But I hardly ever watch, you know, like Minnesota versus
Charlotte.
Yeah. I mean,
why bother?
I hate to say it, Jamie, but that's exactly the reason.
But before we head out, and we're almost heading out on this podcast, but I will tell you the one thing that got me the most was wanting to include DeMarcus Boogie Cousins on this list. Was there a reason that maybe some type of induced state that caused you to go ahead and make that statement?
I mean, in the era of COVID, who isn't in an induced state at this point? No. I just, you know, I feel like his story. I'm a huge Boogie Cousins fan. I've always been a Boogie Cousins fan. I want him to be a Laker since forever. And then when he was a Laker, he never played.
He didn't get a chance.
And then he wasn't a Laker. And then I was just like, this is like somebody like toying with my mind. So now I'm all in on Boogie, man. Like, come on, Boogie. Get that All-Star game.
I signed him to five everybody different contracts to get him to get his bird rights. And then he went and signed with Houston as a free agent.
Let's be honest. Who would you rather have right now? Boogie Cousins or Mike Gasol? Boogie Cousins in every universe.
I mean, Boogie Cousins is going to be starting now because Christian Wood is going to be out at least a couple of weeks with that bad ankle. So he's going to get a lot of playing time. But until then, he had only had – because I've got him on several fantasy teams on my bench because I'm unable to play him because he's only had two games all season that are Boogie-like games.
I know.
Now that's going to change at least for a couple of weeks until Christian Wood comes back. But an all-star, he is not.
I know he's not an all-star, Gerald. You got me. I wasn't in an induced state. I was in a state of, come on, Boogie. Come on. Okay. Let's go.
But you're right. Boogie would be definitely a better option than Marc Gasol right now. But at least he would put a bucket in. There you go.
Well, I mean, he'd actually bring back Dwight Howard for Marc Gasol.
I would.
Really?
I would.
Really?
Want straight up? Yeah. If Philly said, all right, No way. Whom did we win an NBA championship with last season?
Who did we not even sign when he basically announced to everybody he was coming back?
That was, I believe, a misunderstanding and has no bearing on the question that I asked.
He thought he had an offer, and the Lakers said, no, we never made an offer. And he said, well, oh, I'm accepting the offer. And the Lakers said, well, there is no offer.
At the time.
You spell that D-U-M-P.
I'm just going to sell.
Right, oh, man, right, look at you bringing it back. Bring it around.
I'm just going to say that I agree with Jamie. I would rather take Dwight Howard at this point in time. He's playing substantially better than Marc Gasol right now.
What? Really? Get out.
His 6 points a game, 8 rebounds a game. Every time he's in there. Right now, Marc Gasol's averaging a whopping 3.7. So,
do you know what the great thing about tonight was? Marc Gasol's 5 points equaled the amount of points that he had scored in the last game he had scored, which was 4 games ago.
Yeah, that's scary.
KC's the 6 points.
To that, those KCP is that's a problem, man. I would not be surprised if THT takes KCP's starting spot by the end of the season. Will that hold in the playoffs? I don't know. But I feel like the ankle injury that Kentavious got earlier in the season is definitely still affecting him because he is not mobile. He is not moving like he can. And he doesn't do basketball things with the basketball. He's playing like he's got somewhere else to be, like he's got to go pick up some dry cleaning or something. And I don't know what's going on there.
There's so also the issue that the three-point attempts are coming from LeBron and AD rather than from the rest of the team right now.
Well, I think that's the NBA adjusting to, oh, LeBron's looking to pass. Like, that's not a secret.
No,
like,
I think it's we don't run any plays. We don't run any plays to get shots, you know?
I have been saying that for a little over a year now. We don't run an offense. What offense do the Lakers
run? And to be
anybody
honest,
anybody can tell me anytime.
Part of it is LeBron and AD's.
Well, this is the thing.
Rates.
That what you have, and this is why, like, you know, like, I don't care that even like in an interview yesterday, Frank Vogel, Marc Gasol went to Frank Vogel. I watch the games on Spectrum, so I get Stu Lance and I'm forgetting his name, but the other guy,
Paul Sutherland.
Paul Sutherland's it's McDonald.
Norm McDonald. That's it's, Norm not McDonald. Norm,
no, it's not Norm McDonald. That would be amazing.
Paul McDonald. That's the USC quarterback.
We'll get it eventually.
Bill McDonald, I think.
Bill McDonald, thank you.
See, that's how great he is. We all forget his name.
Right. Oh, man, if it was Norm McDonald, that would be amazing.
Yeah, but that's how great he is because we just forget his name.
Get a basket. It's funny. But they were saying that Gasol went to Frank Vogel and was like, do you want me to, like, try to score more or, like, be more involved in the offense? And Frank Vogel went, no, which to me is stupendous. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I get it. Maybe you don't want him to, like, score 20 points a game.
We need an offensive coordinator.
Would it not be nice if he scored, like, a little bit? Like, 8 points a game? On average. I'm not saying 8 points every night. Like, 12 points one night, 6 another. That's going to equal out to about 8 over the course of it.
What we can't have is two guys in a starting lineup never score.
That's the thing. You cannot have a starting lineup where 3 out of the 5 players score and the other two are like, you go, man. You got this.
And, you know, and the drive and kicking just is not happening.
No, I mean, I think that's part of that is who's setting screens. I mean, you're not going to like this. Dwight Howard sets great screens. Even JaVale McGee sets great screens. Those guys freed up LeBron.
Too, you got to learn how to take advantage of those screens. This is another reason why I think you're seeing a lot of THT. When he attacks, he is an excellent passer on drive and dish and drive and kicks, and he can get to the rim.
Well, he's got energy right now. I'm going to go back constantly to the Lakers looking mentally fatigued because I truly believe they are.
Well, they're not mentally sharp, that's for sure.
I mean, the turnovers per game are all anyone needs to see.
It's not, you know, and it's not that these turnovers are trying to make home run passes.
No, these are dumb.
Turnovers are like, dumb I'm throwing plays. The ball to you directly or
no, they're bad plays. It's just
they're
like
bad turnovers.
Like they're really they're mental errors.
I didn't know you could jump and steal that pass that I just threw.
Wait, that guy's going to move when I throw the ball? That's crazy. Does that happen every ball
when the guy's not open, you know, when
all of the above. It's a bad situation and it's one of the things that I can see like LeBron and AD and a lot of players are like pissed about the All-Star game happening. Like at the beginning of the season, I feel like the league almost specifically said there wouldn't be an All-Star game. Like they all but cut short like a contractual obligation to not have one. And now suddenly, here it comes, and you're like, well, there won't be any fans. What is Toyota so, or Kia, or whoever so upset about their sponsorship dollars that, you know, you feel obligated to, like, put on a dog and pony show on television with, you know.
There'll be a great halftime show, I'll bet.
Are they going to do the skills challenges and the three-point competition and the dunk competition? Because
it's going to be a one-day thing.
Why? Right. So, like,
it's not All-Star Week.
And to the point that Gerald made about guys having bonuses in their contracts, this was like an hour ago, I feel like. Well, couldn't have been because we've only been on for an hour and 4 minutes. But Gerald made about guys having contract bonuses for making the All-Star game. If they make the All-Star game and there is the All-Star team, rather, and there isn't a game, I do believe that bonus would still come to effect because you've met the benchmark for being voted onto the team. To play in the game is secondary. So
maybe that's the plan. Maybe the plan is just to vote.
And if you get sick and you miss some games,
so that you lost get the award money. And you can put it in your, right. in your resume and
I
then
don't
they
know.
Cancel the game.
That's what I honestly, that would be the best possible outcome. But the owners are going to be like, well, this is a giveaway to the players. We're not getting anything out of this. Like, why should we honor our contractual obligation if you didn't do the money-making game? It's a bad look for the NBA all across the board. Even if it happens with no incidents, it's a bad look for the NBA. It's as bad a look as when the Lakers got that that emergency grant money for COVID-19.
Not that bad. It wasn't that bad.
I think it's worse because it has the potential of like becoming a super spreader event amongst your elite,
well, that's what you don't
amongst
want.
The elite talent in your league, the people who pay money of any kind to watch play.
Somebody from all 30 teams there together, all together.
Let's so put it this way.
Credit the 30s teams.
If LeBron misses like 2 weeks due to COVID, if KD misses 2 weeks due to COVID, if you know what I'm saying? Like, if like,
well, it doesn't matter with KD because they're not going to make it.
Well, this is my point is if like six elite players miss like up to 2 weeks with COVID-19 symptoms because of the All-Star game, this is going to be the biggest PR nightmare that the NBA has suffered, well, since China. So just since last year. But, like, you know, it's ridiculous. Because
yeah,
it's,
I agree.
It's,
I agree.
It's an unnecessary risk.
It's a no-win situation.
It's
really
a no-win situation.
Right.
And the problem is, again, if they take any one of those stars, takes it home, and gives
anyone.
It to any family, and that it can go and spread from there and spread from there.
Happens, you know, and nobody cares.
Well, I care
I'll
about
care.
These individuals. I care if these families get sick. I mean, you talked about Carl
and people wearing masks on your team. People left and right, man.
He's lost six families.
The guy out at the grocery store for not wearing a mask.
Well, don't go to Florida then. If you've watched NBC News lately, anyways,
let him in the store.
I mean, if you Carl Anthony Towns, look at his family has lost six members of their family. I mean, that just again. It's just too big a risk. It's just too big a risk.
Like I told my wife, I would never root for a quarterback who is a Donald Trump fan. I don't care.
I mean, how I don't even. You're going to have a hard time with the NFL at this point.
We've got a new president in place. Can we go? Let's just
basketball.
I'm eliminated people.
Oh yeah.
I've never had a hesitation of calling Matt up and asking him to come back to the blog.
No.
Again, let's just close it out from here. Once it starts going back to that issue again, I really don't want to go back to that because again, we have a new administration in place. And we're hoping for the best.
Let's all move on.
Yes, let's all move on.
We don't have to talk about falling down the stairs anymore. We are out of the abusive relationship. Hopefully,
exactly.
Right. Those of us who will survive will be able to go on.
And let's hope we do survive at that.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
10 days to my second shot.
Nice. I'm still waiting on my first. Half hour ago, we told you that the Lakers did, again, double overtime, squeak out a victory, 135 to 129. It was not pretty, but they did get the job done. We will be here Monday after the game against Oklahoma City. Want to go ahead and make sure you know that
we're looking past.
Hopefully it's not another trap game because Admiral Akbar will be coming back on.
We got trap games coming.
I'm not gonna lie. I think we're gonna split OKC, and I don't like saying that.
Here we go again.
I'm telling you, we're gonna lose the first one. The way we're playing right now, we're gonna lose.
Frank's gonna make him go out there and play like the second half, man. I want an attack defense for the whole goddamn game.
That's not Frank as a coach. Frank's gonna wait till the film room and rip him to him there. He's gonna pick Schroeder up off the give everybody some claps.
But he's gonna understand that's what gets our juices going.
We'll see.
You can't just play passive defense the whole game.
That I also cheated Marcus off for Boogie Cousins straight up. Boom.
There you go. All right, everyone. If you have any questions for us, it's at Laker Tom, at Lakers Fast Break, or just go ahead and reach out to any of us at LakerHolics.com. Again, we'll be back here after the game on Monday against Oklahoma City. Looking forward to hopefully a little bit more comfortable game, although Jamie's already predicting a trap somewhere in there. So hopefully he will be wrong. And again, that the Lakers will actually play up to what they're capable of. And we'll find out Monday right here on the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.